You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And as we approach the bottom of the hour, 9:30 in just a few seconds here in the East, I'm Mike Greenberg. We're in Bristol, Connecticut this morning. This is Get Up on ESPN. We'll be with you for the next hour when First Take will come your way in its entirety. A full two-hour edition of First Take on this, the morning after the first night of the Major League Baseball season. We waited 119 extra days, and then baseball was back last night. A season unlike any other, beginning with the Nationals raising their World Series banner pregame, and then before the game, before the anthem, in fact, the Yankees and Nationals kneeling in unison, part of a ceremony featuring references to the Black Lives Matter movement and the coronavirus pandemic. Players were wearing patches on their jerseys in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. And then there's Dr. Anthony Fauci invited to throw out the first pitch. It was not the best first pitch that we've ever seen, but his presence, of course, still highlighting the fight against the coronavirus. And then finally, baseball was being played in 2020, and that's Max Scherzer. This is Giancarlo Stanton. And oh, that's a bomb. 459 feet to straightaway center field. Stanton, the first home run of the baseball season, and sort of a strange sign with no fans in the stands. The ball just sat there for a while. Yankees had a 2-0 lead. And then they would turn the ball over to their new ace, and that's Gerrit Cole, who would make just one mistake on the night, and Adam Eaton would make him pay for that. That's a crushed home run to right field. And remember, as he's rounding the bases, no high fives or low fives or any other kind of fives, so that's a well-done job there. Nationals down just one. Scherzer now facing Aaron Judge, who had the first base hit of the season in the first inning, and then here's another base hit for Judge with a runner at first. Tyler Wade is on his horse. He'll score all the way from first. Yankees go up 3-1. Scherzer would strike out 11, but give up four earned runs in 5 1/3, and Cole would need no more help than that. Boy, did he look good. Andrew Stevenson down swinging. He goes. Victor Robles. That's how Cole's night would end. He pitched 5 innings, 5 strikeouts, 1 earned run. Everyone's night would end early. Actually, look at the torrential downpouring, the lightning that would eventually call off the remainder of the game. So they play 6 innings last night, and it's official. The Yankees win the first game of the baseball season 4-1 in D.C.
It's just a lot of fun. No one could have envisioned the type of year that we're having this year. So, but within those parameters, it exceeded every mark. I just had a blast, really. I mean, it was just so much fun.
We're getting to play baseball. So at the end of the day, I'm still no matter all the things we can get negative about and cry about, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to keep playing baseball and have a smile on my face.
Look who got up early with us again this morning. Jessica Mendoza is here. Jess, the Gerrit Cole acquisition by the Yankees, with all the things that have happened over the last few months, we haven't really talked a lot about the offseason storylines, but this was the acquisition everyone was waiting for, and at least for one night, boy, did he look good.
Oh, and Greeny, he has to. If you look at any weakness with this Yankees team and how dominant they were last season, the weakness was their starting pitching. They went out and fixed that by getting Gerrit Cole. But you got to remember, this is a staff that is still missing Luis Severino, Domingo Herman. Masahiro Tanaka's on the injured list because he got hit with a line drive by Giancarlo Stanton in an exhibition game. And so you think about how important Gerrit Cole is to this Yankees team. We can have so much fun talking about their lineup and all their stars, but if Gerrit Cole does not perform, it was so fun to see him go out, lights out, last night, 98 miles an hour, sick breaking ball in the dirt. He looked as good as advertised.
Yeah, and then Judge has a couple of hits last night, and Stanton hits one, I think, still hasn't come down, if you will. What do you think, all things considered? I know it's just one night, but it felt like a very good night for the Yankees.
It felt like an amazing night, and honestly, to see Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton both in the light and both of them healthy, I feel like we can talk so many people within this lineup, but if those two, Greeny, are healthy throughout the season, this is a team that wins it all. Not just Gerrit Cole, not just everybody else, but those two power bats. Just imagine an opposing pitcher trying to figure out how to get those guys off base, and they have not been healthy together. They have not been able to be on the field together. We saw it for a glimpse last night. Let's see if we can see it for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Hembo, as you were saying that, had the stat up there. When they're together, for the Yankees, and they're healthy. They win two out of every three games. They just haven't had much of a chance to do it. Let's see what they can. Meanwhile, that was game one of the doubleheader last night. Then out there, much closer to you, Jessica, we have the Dodgers and the Giants opening the 2020 season, and a cutout of Jackie Robinson and his family, one of several that we saw in the stands. Different teams handling the stands in different ways. Players from both teams kneeling in unison, holding a black tapestry. There's Mookie Betts, the new Dodger, kneeling during the anthem, supported by teammates. Several Giants would kneel as well. Clayton Kershaw, a last-minute scratch. But the Dodgers' new star, Betts, would make his presence felt. In the seventh, there's his first hit in a Dodger lineup. He was 1-for-5 last night, but that's the big hit there that would get the rally going. They were tied at one there. He says, I'm going to keep that ball with me. And then more importantly, he's going to do this later in the inning. Justin Turner coming home is Betts. Betts gets in safely under the tag. He beats it out on the ball to the second baseman. Giants would challenge, but Betts was clearly safe. Floodgates would open from there. It goes from 2-1 all the way to 8-1. And so the Dodgers take their opener. And on a night where obviously they lose Clayton Kershaw, and we'll see how long he may be out. They said it was precautionary. Are the Dodgers equipped, as good as they are, to handle the absence of Kershaw for an extended period of time?
They are. And Clayton Kershaw's the big name, and everyone thinks he's the big ace, but he's not. Walker Buehler's their ace. He's the best pitcher. You could argue he's the best pitcher in the National League. As good as he has been, he doesn't have the stature and the same name as Clayton Kershaw. Everyone thinks of him, especially if you're not a huge fan watching the last couple years of the Dodgers. But not only with Walker Buehler, we saw a glimpse of Dustin May. He was the one who ended up getting the start over Clayton Kershaw last night. I mean, he has some stupid stuff. Young player coming up, making a name for himself. Watch out for him as well. And Ross Stripling is another pitcher within this staff. Remember, he had that no-hitter, almost no-hitter, 2 years ago, just a 3 ERA in 2018. So this staff is definitely equipped. Clayton Kershaw is the name, so I think a lot of Dodger fans think, oh no, if we don't have him, we can't go. But there's a lot of dudes behind him that can definitely handle the ball.
Now, bottom line of it is this. We saw the two teams who are prohibitive favorites in baseball last night. And in their openers, they won by a combined score of 12-2. Very quickly, before I get to your list this morning, I just wanted to ask you about the expanded playoffs. That's another huge part of the story yesterday. They announced they will go from 10 teams to 16 this year. So there'll be 16 out of 30 teams will make it. The first round will be best of three, every game taking place on the home field of the higher seed. And then it'll go to the traditional format after that. And in a season in which I suppose it makes sense to be throwing a lot of stuff up against the wall and see what sticks, what did you think of that decision?
I love it just because, honestly, October baseball is what it's about. I like the regular season, but when it's 162 games, let's be real, everyone's tuning in October. For this year, to give these teams an added bonus of more baseball, over half the teams will be able to continue to play in October, at least for a few more games. It's huge. I mean, we need to see a lot more baseball, and especially when you get to the playoffs. You know this, Greeny. I mean, that's when everyone's tuning in and excited about Major League Baseball. So I love it. 16 teams. Let's go.
Okay, I'm completely with you on that. Now let's get to the real fun. So you inspired this idea yesterday. You were on with me, and I asked you, with Mookie Betts getting the second biggest contract in baseball, where do you think he falls on the list of the best players in the sport? It got us to thinking, we need you, Jess, to put together a fundamental list. Who are the five best players in baseball, position players? In your opinion, go.
Let's have some fun. I got number five on my list is Christian Yelich. He doesn't get a ton of attention because he plays for the Milwaukee Brewers. He was the MVP in the National League. He has the sweetest swing in the game to me, Greeny. Everything that he's been able to do on the field, his number is just .340 batting average. The last two seasons, 57 home runs. Wrap your mind around that. Then I go to number four, Juan Soto, young player. 21 years old. What he's been able to accomplish thus far in the game has been unbelievable. His numbers, what he's been able to put up, 34 home runs last season. You put him up back to back, even to the greatest in Mike Trout, and you'll see Juan Soto, what he can do, especially the future and what it holds. Then I got at number three is Alex Bregman. This is a player, Greeny, I get geeked up about. I mean, he is someone that finished second in the MVP voting last season. What he can do all around as a player, watch him defensively. He's got a chip on his shoulder this year. Why? Because of the sign stealing. He wants to prove that his numbers have been legit over the last two seasons. Then I move to number one, of course. It's gonna be the greatest player that we've talked about over the last, seven seasons, Mike Trout. He's owned the best batting line in the AL five seasons in a row. Last to do that was Mickey Mantle, Greeny. Finished as MVP or MVP runner-up in seven of the last 8 seasons. I know it gets old. We hear Mike Trout all the time. Oh my gosh, and I was forgetting my number 2 in Mookie Betts. I totally skipped over him because I got so excited about Trout.
No but problem.
Mookie Betts to me, oh my gosh. This is a player. Last night, I had so much fun watching him. Not only has his offensive numbers been off the charts, but he's a guy, Greeny, in right field, tried to throw out a runner at second base, playing at regular depth. Just watching him on the field, you showed some of the highlights. He is a dynamic game changer. Mookie Betts, to me, even though I just said Mike Trout was number 1, Mookie Betts is the most fun player to watch anytime he's on the field, whether it's in right field or whether he's at the plate.
All right, so there's your top 5 list. Now, I thought that was phenomenal, but I want to point something out. So our man Hembo, who is my main man when it comes to all things baseball, wrote a column in which he proposes that Christian Yelich has in fact replaced Mike Trout as the best player in the sport. You have him at number 5. Everybody loves Yelich, but you have him at 5. Hembo has him at 1. What do you have to say to Mr. Hembo?
I think that it was a fun idea. I think that they were nowhere close to each other. I think Christian Yelich is an amazing athlete, player. But when you go and look back in history, so right now, yeah, I think he's on par. I think we can look at numbers. I think Hembo did an excellent job of showing how Yelich's numbers over the last 2 seasons are even better than Mike Trout's. But let's be real. When we're all sitting back with our grandkids in 20 years from now, and who is the best player when we're looking at the 2020 timeframe, Christian Yelich is nowhere near Mike Trout in the history of the game and where Mike Trout is going to end up landing.
There's no question in my mind that you are right, and there's no question that I enjoy seeing Hembo put in his rightful place. Jessica, thank you for this, and thank you for getting up early the last couple of days. We will see you soon. Meanwhile, can you explain what happened with this last night? No fans at Dodger Stadium. So how did this balloon get loose on the field? This is like a mystery. We need like, I don't know, Hercule Poirot, Sherlock Holmes. How does a balloon wind up loose on the field at Dodger Stadium when there's no one in the ballpark? A very strange moment last night. These are the kinds of things that boggle the mind, and I'm sure a lot of people were wondering about last night. Meanwhile, as we continue, why one of our experts says if the Bucks want to win a title with Giannis, they absolutely better do it now. You'll hear who and why coming up in a moment. And then, he was once the baddest man on the planet. What can we truly expect from Mike Tyson at 54 as he prepares to climb back in the ring? We'll talk about that and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and they're hooping in the bubble. Let's run the floor. Pacers guard Victor Oladipo still hasn't decided if he's going to play in this restart, but he did play in their scrimmage, the Pacers, last night. He finished with 8 points on 3 of 10 shooting, 19 minutes. Indiana would beat the Blazers 91-88. So Oladipo looking pretty good as he mulls his return. Steph Curry may not be in the bubble, but his brother Seth was good last night. A perfect shooting night for the Mavs in their win over the Lakers. Scored 23 points. He was 8 of 8 from the floor, 6 of 6 from 3, and made the only foul shot that he took. So he's repping the Curry family and doing it awfully well. And then there was LeBron James. We talked about his comments earlier, but on the floor, he looked very good. Starting for the Lakers in their first scrimmage, he played 15 minutes all in the first half, finished with 12 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. Lakers would lose to the Mavericks, but that's in large part because LeBron didn't play in the second half. And as Kendrick Perkins rejoins us, it's been too long since I've seen Brian Windhorst with us here, our insider. And Wendy, I want to start with you because as we watched LeBron last night, this is a guy who has come back on a mission. There's obviously so much at stake for him on the floor. He's not making any secrets about that. And to my eye, he looked very good. What'd you see last night from him, Wendy?
This was playoff level like intensity, and I don't think I'm exaggerating. The way he attacked this game, the way he was instructing his teammates in this game, this is part of a strategy that he has formed during the layoff to try to recapture the flow. I mean, one of the things that LeBron has developed in all of those finals runs is how to ramp up. And he was midway through takeoff when they had to shut down. And so the challenge for him is how can he recapture the focus and get his team back on that track? You saw it publicly for the first time last night. This has been going on behind the scenes for almost a month now as he's gotten the Lakers ready, and I think you're going to continue to see more of this even during these seeding games.
Now, Perk, it feels to me like LeBron's leadership is going to be as important as his play in this, because this means so much to him, and he will drag those guys along with him. What'd you see from LeBron last night?
Well, Greeny, I seen an NBA senior citizen that's going old and gray, losing his hair, that's not going to need a health care provider no time soon, be who he is. And he was the most valuable player on the court like he is night in and night out. When you look at the body of work that he put in last night, just in the first half on the court, he did a great job of being a floor general. Him running high pick and rolls with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis getting wide open shots with no one coming 2 to 3 feet close to him to even contest. Kyle Kuzma getting backdoor lobs. JaVale McGee gets setting up. He's setting JaVale McGee up under the goal for wide open dunks. And I'm looking at then all of a sudden, hey, I'm going to show you I could put you in the rim. I could get a bucket when need be. I'm looking at a guy like LeBron James, who's supposed to win the MVP in my eyes. When you got guys like his coworkers, for example, Greeny, Damian Lillard, who's having the best season of his career, he was asked, who is your MVP? Dame could have said himself, but he said LeBron James, right? Last night, yesterday, they asked Aaron Gordon from the Orlando Magic, who's your MVP? He said LeBron James, because if you take him off the Lakers, what would they be? Then you ask his teammate, Anthony Davis, who leads in every statistical category except for assists, could have made a case for himself to be the MVP. He was asked, who is your MVP? He said LeBron James. So that means to tell me that AD knows how valuable LeBron is and how much LeBron makes the game easier for Anthony Davis. So I'm still on my campaign of LeBron James for the MVP. I know Wendy was on the other side trying to be humble about it and saying he looks good and didn't want to really say it, but I'm going to say it for Wendy. Wendy feels the same way as me. He wants Bron to be his MVP for sure.
Now listen, I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. I'm campaigning for it. I don't have a vote, and I have a feeling we're all going to lose on that front. Giannis is going to get it, but one way or another. Here's what I really want to talk to you about, Wendy, because I got a little wind of this. This is a story that you were working on here, or at least a theory that you have, which is that all these players together in the bubble, I'm going to let you tell it. What is it that you think could ultimately be hatched from all of these guys down there, sort of sequestered, if you will, from the rest of the world?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, Greeny. I have heard on more than four occasions agents or executives complaining about how in a year or two, maybe not this year, the free agent class isn't set up, but next year, when we have a loaded 2021 free agent class, whether bonds that have been formed in this bubble with teams that are clustered together will, you know, play out. The Orlando, you know, will, in a year, we'll be talking about the formation of the Orlando Four. Now, I'm not sure that's going to play that way, because the reason people think about this is because of what's happened with Team USAs over the years. The Heatles were really started to be formed in Beijing, for example. You know, the Warriors, when they came together, they were happened with Team USA. In this case, the players are still playing with their teams. But I will tell you this, the Bucks are actually relieved because Giannis Antetokounmpo is hanging out in Orlando with his brothers, Kostas and Thanasis. Kostas plays for the Lakers, and so they're in the same hotel. And so there's a Laker hanging out with Giannis almost all the time. It happens to be Giannis' brother. But definitely something that executives are worried about talking about out there.
So what do you make of that, Perk? The idea that these guys, they're all hanging around together, they're sort of cut off from the rest of the world, that the next NBA super team will be hatched inside the bubble in Orlando?
I don't see it happening. I think guys are down there on the mission from, you know, the outside looking in. I'm watching how the scrimmages go. Guys are really competing. So that means to tell me that they have one thing on their mind is to go down there and win games. Listen, super teams, we know the last super team that was formed was formed from a conversation from the parking lot. We talking about Draymond Green hopping on the phone in his car to call Kevin Durant. We guys, listen, guys work out in the summertime together. They play pickup together in the same gym. Guys, you know, have the same agents. They know how to contact one another. So I'm not really diving too deep into, you know, the next super team is being formed in the bubble, because even if you look at the Kawhi and Paul George situation that slipped right under everyone's nose, shoot, we didn't know anything about it, but it was a personal relationship that they had together. So I'm not going to look too deep into it. I think if a super team is going to be formed, it's going to be formed anyway, whether the bubble was here or not.
I hear you, but it's more fun Wendy's way. I'm much more enjoying the idea of just trying to I'm now already imagining all the players who will come together as a result of this period of time, and we'll see. In the meantime, I will leave you with this one visual. Tell me what happens here, Perk. Blazers taking on the Pacers. C.J. McCollum, he's going to the hole. He's going to the rim. And I'm sorry. Oh, what happened? Big Perk, what happened there?
Hey, man, listen, C.J. know better. He's a veteran, man. Look, this is the first game. Listen, and then he tried to cock it back with the one hand. No, C.J., go up with two, young fella. He know I'm a big fan of C.J. He even had to laugh about it. But he know better than that. As a vet, he don't have young legs no more. He got to ease his way into things.
As a person myself, who at the height, at the apex of my athleticism, could only barely touch the rim when I jumped. I'm not sure I'm allowed to laugh at this, and yet I find it funny. All right, guys, thank you very much for that. And again, Wendy, come back anytime, and we will speculate about the super team they're going to form from inside of this bubble. In the meantime, he's 54. He hasn't fought in over 15 years, and he's back. Mike Tyson climbing into the ring. Jalen Rose is excited, and he'll tell you why when he joins us next. Get up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. I'm Mike Greenberg. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us.
There are better ways for me to start my day.
Please tell me you don't believe that.
I feel like a champion, Greeny.
Sports is real. This is how it gets.
Marcus, you had me at hello.
You out of your damn mind.
What did we expect from Aaron Rodgers this season?
A motivated Aaron Rodgers.
I expect him to have a big year.
I don't know what's going on with this motivated Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is pissed off.
Who'd you sack the most times, Booger? Do you know?
Greeny, I have no idea. I only had 22 in my career.
My man Booger. Remember every one, baby.
You didn't have to say it that way.
Here's the story of a man named Brady.
Man, y'all get on my nerves.
RC, we don't care about your nerves. We talking about Tom Brady right now.
Dude also ripped his pants in the golf tournament.
There is no reason to think that the Cowboys won't be one of the top five teams outside of the fact that we say it every year and they never are.
Man, Marcus just made my stomach like legit hurt, man.
We've had so much fun here this week and every week, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate you getting up with us through all of this. And baseball was back last night as we reached the top of the hour here, 10 o'clock in the East. Mike Greenberg, get up on ESPN. We're in Bristol, Connecticut, with you for the next 30 minutes. Those of you tuning in to see First Take, they are coming your way in their entirety, and they'll be hosted this morning by Jalen and Jacoby, who are going to join us in just a moment to talk about, among other things, LeBron James, who looked awful good last night. Lakers first scrimmage. And LeBron tweeted before the game, look, he's not fooling around. He's here. He's ready to go. And he would look like it. We just talked about this with Kendrick Perkins, just how good LeBron looked and how much he's setting up his teammates. That's JaVale McGee with an easy slam there. LeBron, of course, the league leader in assists this year. Right before the end of the first half, the Lakers are up four. Deion Waiters' name was trending last night. He had 9 points in his Laker debut. Mavs down a deuce. Luka Doncic. He's looking good. Why give it up when you could just do this? He would score 14 points in 16 minutes. Still in the second quarter, Lakers are up three. Look at LeBron. Oh, behind the back with the left hand. Lakers increasing their lead to a deuce there. Final 4 minutes of the half. LeBron is going to throw it up. Dwight Howard going to throw it down. Lakers firing on all cylinders and looking good. Less than a minute to go in the half. The Laker lead is 11. LeBron going to pick up an errant alley-oop, and he is going to – oh, he's got liftoff. LeBron, 12 points in 15 minutes, wouldn't play in the second half. But you know who would? J.R. Smith. J.R. is back. His first basket since 2018 right there. He would score 6 points, and he and the Lakers are in action last night. LeBron James looking awfully good, and here they are again. Jalen and Jacoby coming your way in 30 minutes, hosting First Take this morning. But Jalen, quickly, before any other business, Kendrick Perkins very impressed with what he saw from LeBron last night. What did you see from LeBron and the Lakers?
I was extremely impressed as well, Greeny. And a couple of nights ago, we put the Denver Nuggets lineup up there when Jokic started at point guard and talked about the size that they have. We underestimate that that's what the Lakers play with basically on a nightly basis, with LeBron James literally playing point guard and leading the league in assists. You see JaVale McGee hanging on the rim, Dwight Howard hanging on the rim. We know Anthony Davis is an all-NBA performer. So it was great to see LeBron out there playing 15 minutes, being very productive, wearing the old school MJ choker chains and a little gray in his beard.
Jacoby, real quick, with the Clippers losing some players here, and we'll see when they get them back into the bubble, are the Lakers your favorites in the West?
Oh, the Lakers are clearly my favorites in the West. And Jalen touched on, you know, the play of LeBron and AD didn't miss a step. You know what you're going to get from Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. But I think the real key for their success in Orlando is the wing spot. What are you going to get from KCP? What are you going to get from Danny Green? What are you going to get from that wing position? Because if you remember the playoffs last year, Danny Green didn't do great. He had a couple three-point games, a couple four-point games, and a few zero-point games as well. So I really think the Kuzma, KCP, and the play of Danny Green are the key to them being successful, and I see them turning it around.
All right, now let's talk about LeBron and the MVP. So, Jalen, I know I can't win you over, but I do have some support on my side for LeBron for MVP. Dame Lillard says LeBron should be the MVP. Anthony Davis says LeBron should be the MVP. Eric Gordon says LeBron should be the MVP. What do they know that you don't?
Well, they appreciate the fact that LeBron is the OG in the league, Greeny, and at his age, he's playing at a dominant level, leading the Lakers to the number one overall seed in the West. And by the way, MVP is a two-player race. That's how fantastic LeBron has been this season. Second on the Lakers in scoring, and his leadership, again, has been outstanding. But unfortunately for him, Giannis and his team has the best record in the league. He leads his team in points and rebounds. He does everything basically as a point center for his team as he initiates offense. Plus, he's in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. Giannis will get my vote this season.
Well, if you're asking who I promote, LeBron has my vote, to quote Hamilton. How about you, Jacoby? Who's the MVP?
Well, you have some support from me as well. And I think the players are voting for LeBron. The players are voicing their support of LeBron because they know what he brings on and off the court. If you think about what he has done this season, you can forget about leading the league in assists and the numbers he puts up. Do you remember before the season started when he was in China, that controversy? He had to show leadership there. Brand new coach, brand new superstar to play with, brand new roster of players. And they didn't have a single speed bump along the way the entire time. And if you look at his production at age 35 versus another NBA Legends production at age 34, there's a little discrepancy in the numbers. So age is something to be considered here. And I think the players know just how hard it is to do that at that age. Because if you look at this example, it takes a player to respect what LeBron is doing at that age. There's only been a handful of other players with that kind of production at that age. And my co-host, Jalen Rose, is not one.
How could you do that to him? Jalen, what?
Oh, this is just the beginning of a long day of disrespect for Jalen Rose because we're hosting First Take today. This is just a muse boost of disrespect
so
to
bad.
My co-host.
My stats were so bad at that point in my career, y'all got a young pitcher in the wrong jersey.
I don't know how we could do that to poor Jalen. Why would you be comparing the greatest player of all time?
Just warming up for first take.
All right, let the record show that was not nice. But 25 minutes from now, there's going to be more of it coming up. All right, Jalen, let me move you on to the next topic here. We touched on this briefly yesterday. I want to talk about Giannis because I feel like this is a conversation that is picking up a lot of steam. He looked very sharp in his return to the court in the Bucks' first scrimmage yesterday. The MVP favorite, he had 22 points in 21 minutes, shot 9 of 13 from the floor. Milwaukee blew out the Spurs last night, for whatever that is worth, which obviously isn't. But I just had Wendy on here, Jalen, talking about how he believes the next super team in the NBA could be hatched in this bubble. All these guys kind of sequestered away from everybody. Would you imagine there are a lot of players around the league who are whispering in Giannis's ear?
Absolutely. And you can't talk about those teams being formed as super without attaching stars at the end. And Giannis falls into that category. I just don't want him to be a player in Milwaukee that we look up and all of a sudden they don't meet their expectations this year. He doesn't sign an extension this offseason, and he goes into the final year of his contract with the team, basically in limbo whether he's going to be there long term. My MVP, I hopes, gets a chance to win the championship and sign like Patrick Mahomes did, unlike LeBron leaving Cleveland, unlike KD leaving OKC. I hope Giannis stays in Milwaukee for his entire career.
I kind of do too, to be honest with you, and I keep losing track of the phrase, but something is only as strong as its weakest link, a chain fence or something, whatever it is. You need good players in Milwaukee. You need the Milwaukees and the Memphises and the New Orleans. That's what makes a league strong. But I know, David, there are a lot of people who believe that the NBA in particular is best when the superstars are on the big market teams and the glamorous teams. What do you think? Take your own personal feelings out of this. What is the best thing for the NBA?
Link in the chain, and the best thing for the NBA is more parity and everything to be spread out. But I'm not going to take myself out of it. I'm going to put myself in it. I love the drama of the player movement. I love it when superstars switch teams, and we have brand new seasons like we have at the beginning of this season where we see tons of duos and players in new uniforms. However, I don't think that's going to be the case because of the bubble environment. Let's say they get bounced in the second round by a Sixers or a Heat, which is very much in play. I think Coach Bud in the front office can go to Giannis and say, listen, there was a four-month break. This is conditions like we've never seen in the history of the league. Let's put a little asterisk on this early exit in the playoffs. And then I think the real pressure for them to perform will be at the beginning of next year, because if they're not playing well beginning of next year, that's when Giannis can go to the team and say, you know what? I won't be here the following year. Trade me.
Jalen, I'm trying to read your reaction.
So you call, no, he called me. Now it's my turn. So Mike Greenberg,
yeah,
you're a diehard Jets fan, just like I'm a diehard Lions fan.
Right.
This guy represents the opposite of that. Of course he likes to see player movement because he doesn't have loyalty to a team. We don't want to see Giannis jumping from two to three teams to championship chase. I would love to see him have a statue in Milwaukee, do like Dirk, do like Kobe, do like the all-time greats if you can. Handle it in one team. I think he has that ability to get it done there, David. Not team hop to
and
make
further,
people like you happy.
And David, I would add to that, that there is something intriguing, I get it, about players jumping from team to team, but they never jump to Milwaukee. Do you know what I mean?
Don't.
Like, if you're going to have a league, you need, they're always jumping to the Lakers and places like that. But if you're going to have a league that has Milwaukee and Memphis and New Orleans in it, then it's a good thing. When Giannis is in Milwaukee and Ja Morant is in Memphis and Zion is in New Orleans, that makes in my opinion, it makes the entire league worth watching.
I think that's how it's going to play out, because like I said, I could really see this Bucks team getting bounced in the second round, especially if they match up against the Heat or the Sixers. But I could also see Giannis being convinced that that's not indicative of their performance and their commitment to winning moving forward, and then he ends up staying. I could definitely see him that happening.
All right, let's see what happens. Jalen, I've been waiting all morning to ask you about this. 54-year-old Mike Tyson is getting back in the ring. The former undisputed heavyweight champ will fight Roy Jones Jr. in an 8-round exhibition bout on September 12th in Los Angeles. Now, I don't know exactly what an exhibition bout means.
They're still punching
when you're boxing,
each other in the
you're
face.
Boxing. You're either punching someone or you're not. So I will ask you, Jalen Rose, as the astute and devoted fan of the sweet science that you are you excited to see Mike Tyson back in the ring?
Absolutely. And the president of the Mike Tyson fan club, Mike Greenberg, I have been to Las Vegas countless times to support Iron Mike Tyson in his prime. And I'll tell you this, this is the happiest that I've seen him in 25 years. As a human being, okay, getting in shape, living his best life, this human being being in the ring, doing podcasts, doing interviews, making movies. I'm just happy to see a resurgent Mike Tyson. And absolutely, I would love to see him in the ring with Roy Jones Jr., two of the freaks that boxing has seen in the history of the sport. I need to be there. September 12th, I need to be there. Your thoughts, David Jacoby.
David.
Well, I would say this. I'm excited about this event. I'm excited about this spectacle. But to be honest, I'm more excited about the press conferences and, as Jalen mentioned, the interviews and the podcast than I am the actual action in the squared circle. I really think the lead up and the press conferences and the weigh-ins and the stare downs will be better because at this point, these two have bigger personalities than punching power. So I'm excited for the spectacle and the event and not the undercard or the main event.
Listen, with Tyson, you don't always get a great fight, but you always get a great show. One of the best nights I ever remember watching was a night that I was watching two ambulances drive into a hospital. One of them had Evander Holyfield in it. The other one had his ear in it. And I thought to myself as I was watching, it doesn't make any difference how much money I spent on this. It was well worth it. And I have a feeling we're going to get something like that. Okay, Jalen, I want to leave with this. Today is Karl Malone's 57th birthday. So we're going to play 57 seconds of Karl Malone video and ask you the question, is he the greatest player never to win a championship?
Yes, he is. Absolutely. Karl Malone, for you youngsters out there, the epitome of durability, brought it on a nightly basis for two decades, basically playing 82 games. Gave me the points consistently, won an MVP, gave me the rebounds consistently, led his team to the finals a couple of times to come up short playing against Michael Jordan and played alongside John Stockton, which if they would have won the championship would be ranked higher on everybody's list as best duos of all time. People need to put some respect on the mailman's name. He did deliver.
What do you think, David? Traditionally, it's Elgin Baylor, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone. Who's the best?
Well, we've got Jerry West and Allen Iverson I want to add to that conversation as well. But I also want to say, I love arguing with Jalen and telling him he's wrong, but the consistency and the numbers in this case do not lie. Karl Malone is probably the best to never win a championship, but Allen Iverson is the best to watch to never win a championship.
All right, these guys are getting warmed up in 17 minutes. They're hosting First Take this morning, two full hours coming your way of Jalen Jacoby starting 10:30 Eastern. Looking forward to it, guys. We'll see you in just a few minutes. So they're getting ready. In the meantime, the New York Jets' best player has made it known he wants out of New York. Now he's made some more comments that will probably mean he gets his wish. Don't miss this. Next, you're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We're back on Get Up this morning with a developing story today. Jets safety Jamal Adams requested a trade last month, and now general manager Joe Douglas appears to be ready to move on from the star, particularly after Adams had some criticism toward head coach Adam Gase. This is in a story in today's New York Daily News. These are on the record quotes from Jamal Adams about head coach Adam Gase. I don't feel like he is the right leader for this organization to reach the promised land. As a leader, what really bothers me is that he doesn't have a relationship with everybody in the building. At the end of the day, he doesn't address the team. If there's a problem in the locker room, he lets another coach address the team. If we're playing badly and we're losing, he doesn't address the entire team as a group at halftime. He'll walk out of the locker room and let another coach handle it. Oh, boy. So there's that. So, Lewis, there's a lot here. I make no secret. Again, I sometimes have to recuse myself from these conversations because I'm a lifelong fan of the team. Well, let's start specifically with the substance of what he's saying about Adam Gase. What do you think of a player making those kinds of comments about a head coach, particularly at this point in the calendar?
It's brutal. It's brutal. Look, you hear me oftentimes talk about the three pillars of leadership: credibility, competency, having a positive impact on the people that you're in charge of. Well, obviously, I mean, Adam Gase right now, all three of those things are being put into question by the best player on their football team. As a head coach, see, this is the one. What is one of the things that really bugs me about the head coach selection process? Everyone, like always, like right now, I shouldn't say everyone, but it's in vogue right now to look for good play callers, quarterback developers, guys who put up good stats as far as what their offenses look like when they were offensive coordinators before they become head coaches. And not enough emphasis is put on the very thing that Jamal's talking about right there, which is how credible, how competent, how positively do they impact the entire football team and everyone that they're in charge of. Obviously, right now, Adam Gase is falling short of that. Otherwise, why would Jamal come out and criticize him right now? Now, I know people will say, well, he's just exercising an agenda because he's ticked off about his contract situation. But this is not something that is just new to people in football circles as far as what people's criticisms of Adam Gase have been, you know, in the past. And I think right now it's just another thing that you can just add on top of all the frustration that Jamal has felt in recent years as far as the direction of the New York Jets overall.
I get it. So now if you're Joe Douglas, again, who is a comparatively inexperienced general manager, what do you have to do? Do you have to trade Jamal Adams now? Has he basically left you with no option?
Well, I think, you know, there's another layer to this whole situation when you're talking about Joe Douglas also. Look, obviously there is a trust factor that has really been breached between Jamal, his representatives, and Joe Douglas also because of, you know, promises that were made to Jamal as far as his contract, you know, being renegotiated and being extended back in January, how that kept being pushed off, how there were then questions surrounding what Jamal's level of commitment to the New York Jets was, which is kind of just ludicrous when you think about it on the surface, when you just look at how the guy really commits himself to playing the game and how he commits himself to his teammates. So I think right now that relationship also seems to be fractured because of the fact that, once again, there is no trust. Does Joe Douglas have to trade Jamal at this point? I think it'd probably be best for them both to kind of go their separate ways because, look, with some guys, it's just once you go down this road and you lie to them, especially what about things concerning money and concerning the business aspect of the game, it's hard to really repair that kind of thing unless you just come out of nowhere and give them the kind of contract that really just supersedes what they even were looking for. But in this situation, it sounds like for Jamal, it's best for him to move on, get to some place where he feels as though he is loved, that he is wanted, and he can trust people. And the Jets can really just do whatever the heck they're going to do. Because right now, they seem rudderless, both in terms of management and from the head coach standpoint.
I can't tell you how awful it is rooting for this team. I'm not going to the Mike Tyson thing, Allie. I'm going to continue talking about this for a minute with Lewis because I need help. And Lewis is the only person. I just can't tell you how awful it is rooting for this team, right? I mean, what you have just described is a complete dysfunctional mess. And this isn't just some fan ranting like me, which I am and I have been known to do and will do again. But this really is just a complete mess in a situation that has been mishandled from the very top. And obviously an entirely other story is what's currently going on with the owner. It doesn't have anything to do with this part of it. But what you're describing here really is just a complete mess.
But see, Greeny, that's where it starts, right? I mean, really, look, the people underneath ownership, really, they take their cues. They get their direction from ownership. And really, they need to fall in line with how ownership wants their organization to be viewed, to be respected. And if they don't really see that direction coming from ownership, then they have a hard time really maintaining their own form of direction in their own, you know, in their own way of doing business. Unless, of course, they are just so, you know, fundamentally strong and very experienced to where they can kind of just say, hey, look, the ownership is going to do what they need to do, but I'm going to, you know, conduct business in the way that I best see fit. But hey, Joe Douglas is an inexperienced first-time general manager. So right now, he really does seem like he's kind of grasping at straws. He's telling Jamal one thing and then doing another. The head coach is really not leading the football team in the way in which their best player thinks it needs to be led and that the best player would respect. That's a problem. You can't be that tone deaf as a head coach to really just tune out what your players and what the rank and file are saying, you know, behind your back and or to your face. So you're right. This does reek of dysfunction. It does start at the very top. And it sounds like the Johnson family needs to really get their arms around this organization and get it pointed in the right direction. Otherwise, it's just going to be the same old, which involves you putting your head down on your desk and going, what do I do?
I just cannot begin to describe the misery that is caused by rooting for this team, it seems, all of the time. Lewis, thank you very much for your candor. and for trying to help me out here. All right, today on ESPN, we have an opening day triple header. Maybe that'll cheer me up. Starts at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Back-to-back Cy Young winner Jacob DeGrom pitching for the Mets. Then you're going to see Christian Yelich against the Cubs, and we cap it off with the great Mike Trout visiting the A's. All three games are on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, coming up, LeBron James spoke about Black Lives Matter yesterday. Baseball players knelt pregame. Why athletes are taking a lead role on social issues. Coming up, Jalen Jacoby hosting First Take. They're 5 minutes away here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by the number one brand in prepaid Metro by T-Mobile and by ZQuil, pure Z's. Helps you fall asleep naturally. Meanwhile, the WNBA season tips off tomorrow, noon Eastern, on ESPN, the Liberty and the Storm, and then on ABC at 3 Eastern, Brittany Griner and the Mercury hosting the Sparks. You'll see both games on the ESPN app. And a quick note here, Ron Rivera will be on SportsCenter 12:30 Eastern today, the coach of the Washington football team, talking about the name change and coaching during a pandemic. You'll see him on SportsCenter at 12:30. So a busy day will continue. Thank you for getting up with us. I will see you on Monday. Jalen and Jacoby hosting First Take starting now.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.